Welcome to part two of this episode of the Patient Focused Update, the podcast for Americans for Safe Access. I'm Russ Belville, and we're sitting here with Dr. Jehan Marku, the Chief Science Officer for Americans for Safe Access. We were just discussing the 2018 state report cards for the medical marijuana programs graded on a 500-point scale by ASA. Another very promising thing about ACE's report cards there, the grades for all the states, is that there are only four states there, Idaho, South Dakota, Kansas, and Nebraska, that don't receive a grade. They're gray. They're incomplete because they have no program whatsoever. We are seeing some movement. Idaho's House, I understand, has just recently passed another CBD-only type of bill, and there's some movement in some of those other states. Do you think we're going to get one of those last four states anytime soon?
I think that it is inevitable that states will adopt some form of a medical cannabis program. What form they will take, there still seems to be a trend with everyone wants to make orange juice from oranges in their own special way. And I think that what's nice about those states waiting, and if I can talk about the silver lining, I think there's plenty of things to say what's wrong with not implementing a program, is that they can learn from other states and try and develop the program that will be adopted the quickest and be implemented with the right resources. It'd be nice to see these states, these regulators, look at this report and think about how can they create, the best program. Based on what other states have been through, like Alabama and Louisiana, Arizona, and these sorts of states where you see big differences in grades.
And speaking of the grades, no state achieved an A rating. The top ratings were B pluses. We got them in six states that got B pluses. California led the way, 89.55%, I think was the number, followed by my state of Oregon. That seems the way it should be, actually, Dr. Marku. I can see California and Oregon leading the way. One criticism I had, though, had to do with patient access and the incredible price that it costs someone to get into the program here in Oregon, something like $200 for the patient fee, $200 for the grower fee, $480 to register for the tracking system. You're up to $1,000 before you get in. Was cost to get in the program, the initial hurdle, a part of the considerations in the grades?
Yes and no. We weren't able to create a metric for assessing, what the per capita cost is. And that is something we have to look at, too, in terms of functionality. And so what's nice is looking at how many people are entering in the program per capita. And when we see, 20, 30,000 patients joining a program over a year or two, those are decent numbers. So I think you're right that is a criteria to take into account in the future. Last year, I think when we first did this, it was a 300-point matrix, then a 400-point matrix, and then this year it's a 500-point matrix. And so we're constantly learning as we develop this rubric, more nuances like that. And I think that's a great thing that we should include in our future, in next year's report.
All right. Looking forward to it. Again, it's the state report cards. It's available from the Americans for Safe Access website at safeaccessnow.org. Let's look to the future now, because as we get into springtime, there are a number of conferences taking place, events that people interested in medical cannabis issues should take heed of. And Dr. Marku, what can you tell us? What do we got coming up soon?
Well, I guess going in chronological order, coming up in mid-March, March 20th, ASA will be presenting at the American Chemical Society, basically presenting results, a more detailed presentation about the state of the state's report. And that will be taking place in New Orleans in Louisiana on March 20th. So if you're in Louisiana and you want to, or you're attending the American Chemical Society and their cannabis programming, you can go and see a report about that, and I think that would be worthwhile if you're in the area. We'll also be participating in a cannabis and hemp educational conference put on by the International Pharmacists School in Toronto. And that's the 23rd and 24th. ASA will be speaking at that. Coming up In May is our annual ASA conference, and that is May 22nd through the 24th. And this is going to be heavily focused on our End Pain, Not Lives campaign. And this is going to be focused largely on opioids and cannabis, chronic pain and cannabis. And we also organize a day for all the participants of the conference to go and descend upon Capitol Hill and meet with their elected officials. And this is a great conference because we fly out a lot of medical cannabis patients. We train them and educate them to go and talk to their elected officials. And so if you want to come see some international speakers, researchers, policymakers, government officials, and meet medical cannabis patients, it's a great conference in D.C., May 22nd through 24th. And registration is finally open.
All right.
And I'd say coming up in June, even looking further ahead, ASA will also be participating in the International Cannabinoid Research Society meeting at the end of June, and we'll be presenting various information about our certification and training program, as well as the State of the States report.
All right. Excellent events. And I assume the events are also listed out there at ASA's website?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. And another issue that we brought up in our last discussion, I want to make sure that we cover it this time as well, especially given recent comments by people in the administration on the issue, and that is the crisis of opioid overdose that we're suffering in the United States, with over 60,000 overdose deaths, opioids among those. And ASA is taking a special look at this and trying to educate the public on how medical cannabis can play a role in combating this problem. Give us the latest update on this program from Americans for Safe Access.
So we have a report that is available right now. We'll be updating it for the May conference. But we continue to have events and campaigns to educate people about the latest research. Some of the things we've been seeing is that research from pain clinics over the last 10 years, there's been very little research in this area, but the research has been promising that, in people who are trying to either, abstain or quit using opioid pain medication, that cannabis use is not necessarily associated with relapse. There's a recent report by PAL that came out from the RAND organization, which showed that early adopters of state programs, of medical cannabis programs, are seeing these benefits, but some states are not. And I think for our future report about states' programs, we have to start looking at that. Because states that seem to have very strict programs where it's very hard for patients to enroll, there isn't a good supply, we don't see the opioid, we don't see that drop in opioid deaths that we see in other states. New Jersey, for example, has continued to increase and lead the nation. I think it's three times the average there. And so I think that, those programs in some of these states have not taken root or had enough access or entry, a barrier to entry might be too high in some of these states to see a benefit yet. But I think the trend is overall positive, but we're not seeing the trend universally across states. As we've talked, some states get an F, lots get Ds. And so I think that this gets to our point saying, we have to make this a viable option. And that comes from recognizing chronic pain by creating those protections that allow patients to use cannabis who might be using other prescription drugs.
Yeah, let's get that information out to as many people as possible, especially our elected officials. Many of them are coming around and starting to understand that. We heard some great comments by New York's junior senator Kirsten Gillibrand, who talked about the pharmaceutical companies fearing the competition of medical cannabis for their pain patients. What did you think of that, doctor?
Well, I think, it's a good point that the senator made, but I think I don't think the size of the cannabis industry is still a very, very, very small. The entire cannabis industry is still very, very small compared to the pharmaceutical industry. And I think that, that's one issue of many, I think, that we have to educate people about, because it's not just good enough to have one dispensary in your state or not to have a variety of products available, or not to have the educational resources available in the state. So I think there is a whole package of things that have to be there for states to see these benefits. And so it's irresponsible just to say, because we have a cannabis program, that we are fighting the opioid epidemic. No, you have to implement it. You have to make sure that there is access. You have to make sure that you're supporting the civil protections for these patients. And the products have to be accurately labeled. If people are trying to use this in a form that needs to be dosed appropriately, accurate labels become more and more important. They don't care about seeing a high percentage of an active ingredient as long as it's accurate.
Yeah, exactly. Let's give people the information again, the name of the project and how they can find out more.
If you go to endpainnotlives.org, you can find out about the campaign and how to get involved, download the free report, and we've been organizing and empowering individuals. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to talk to a Tourette's Society about cannabinoids in treating conditions related to Tourette's and other neurodegenerative disorders, because many people who, you know, a lot of the caregivers for people who are suffering from these conditions are seeing positive results from cannabis in their own anecdotal and objective or observational manner. And I think that there still is an issue of translating the research in an open and having an adult conversation about cannabis and how it's used. I think that people are coming around because they're realizing that medical cannabis products are recommended or prescribed, depending on what country you live in, to treat neurological conditions, not to cause them. And there are public health benefits from having a well-regulated cannabis program with, you know, enough access for the patients.
All right, that's great. And painnotlives.org for more information. Safeaccessnow.org for Americans for Safe Access. Get the state report cards report out there as well. Dr. Jehan Marku, always a tireless advocate for patients and the advocation of medical cannabis science. Thank you so much for making yourself available, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Sounds good. Thank you.